Politico Brussels Playbook, presented by Google. Somewhat to talk about, Jesse Kern, Vestager's Sour Grapes? By Florian Eder. With Zoyashev Talovich. Presented by Google. Send tips here, tweet at Floriander, listen to today's playbook and view in your browser. Good morning. Still not convinced that Jean-Claude Juncker's soybean pact with Donald Trump was the real deal? Well, you don't need to be, as long as Trump is. Today, the European Commission is expected to release the latest figures on imports of American soybeans. In short, trade has never before been this great, numbers have never been this huge. The figures, obtained by Playbook, show that in the 12 weeks from July, EU imports from the US are up by 133% compared to last year. And the US share of the EU's total imports of soybeans is now at 52%, compared to 25% during the same period last year. This puts the states ahead of Brazil, Canada, Paraguay, and Uruguay. A message from Google, the digital news innovation. DNI Fund has offered 559 recipients in 30 European countries a total of €115.2 million so far. Details here. We will open the next and last call for projects in October, so stay tuned and get ready. Salzburg Summitry. Wednesday wrap-up, the bottom line from the Salzburg summit so far is this. Neither Brexit nor migration has delivered the requiem for Europe that the EU's fiercest critics predicted. But victory can't be claimed on either front either. David Herzenhorn has the overview. Here are the highlights from Wednesday and what to expect from today. Orbán to stay, Hungary's Prime Minister Viktor Orbán will stay in the European People's Party. Despite being accused by the European Parliament of trampling on democratic freedoms and flouting EU norms, the centre-right alliance's president, Joseph Daul, said Wednesday. Salzburg today, Council President Donald Tusk set the scene with his opening remarks Wednesday. He said that Britain's proposals on how to avoid a border on the island of Ireland need to be reworked and further negotiated, adding that today there is perhaps more hope, but there is surely less and less time. Tusk invited both sides to use every day that is left for talks. EU-May took the floor late Wednesday night to make her Brexit pitch for further concessions from the EU, particularly on the Irish border, and got no response from EU27 leaders. Today, EU leaders, in the absence of the British PM, will discuss their stance. Expect yet another performance of the big political Brexit theatre from Salzburg and, in reaction, London. Cue thundery statements and stark rebuttals, and the EU presenting itself as uncompromising as ever on the open divorce questions. That's because the EU really isn't willing to compromise. Plus, as the thinking goes in Brexit Brussels, according to diplomats we spoke to Wednesday, an inflexible EU might actually be exactly what Theresa May needs from Salzburg. A proper fight with the EU could help her avoid looking weak and willing to compromise. Heaven forbid, ahead of the Conservative Party conference September 30th to October 3rd. Here's how today and the next few weeks will play out, assuming things go well. As Tusk warned us, various scenarios are still possible. 1. Nobody move. At his meeting with the College of Commissioners on Wednesday, EU Brexit negotiator Michel Barnier previewed what he expects to come out of the Salzburg meeting today: a firm declaration of solidarity with Ireland, and that's it. The real negotiations with London, with May, to be precise, won't start until the Tory conference is over, according to an EU diplomat very familiar with the matter, who also suggested this approach was fine by May. 2. Crunch time comes later. The real talks about the Irish question will happen afterward, between October 3rd and 18th, according to our diplomat. October 18th, that's the date of the next EU summit. Could mark the day when the Brexit treaty is more or less done in substance and when real talks about the famous political declaration on future relations start. Talks should wrap up by the extra summit that Tusk asked leaders to pencil into their agendas in mid-November. Prepare for a spectacle and sessions that stretch long into the night. There's gotta be a public display of both sides fighting hard. 3. The landing zone, as Brussels sees it, if the EU's not going to substantially move on the Irish border, and there's not much evidence that it will, judging from what diplomats from several countries have told us. The backstop, and with it the prospect of a customs border in the Irish Sea, will still be there. How to get round it? Imagination has its limits when it comes to this concrete question. But we're ripe for a strongly worded, not too concrete political declaration about the future relationship. Such a declaration will need to be ambitious enough to enable both sides to credibly argue that the backstop will never actually be needed. Opinion: Say no to blindfold Brexit, Hugo Dixon, chair of InFax and one of the founders of the People's Vote campaign, writes in an op-ed for Politico that some EU leaders think accepting a lack of clarity, a so-called blindfold Brexit that kicks some of the hardest decisions about the future relationship until after the UK has already departed, may be necessary to get a deal done. This is the wrong conclusion. A fudged deal would be dishonest and store up trouble. Side note on the calendar, what did Michel Barnier do to EPP party chairman Joseph Daul? The deadline for those wanting to have a run at becoming the EPP's lead candidate for the EU election is October 17. That leaves Barnier, a long-mooted would-be Spitzenkandidat and Commission President, with no hope of finishing his current job before running for a new one. We all know someone affected by cancer. Do public policies ensure that patients and survivors receive the best possible care? Presented by Pfizer Oncology and IBM Watson Health. That's the question our new Global Policy Lab installment will tackle. Join the discussion here. Brussels business. Vestager vs. Amazon. European Commissioner for Competition Marguerite Vestager has doubled down in her attack on US big tech by opening a preliminary investigation into Amazon's dual role as a platform and a merchant selling products on its own platform. Simon Van Dorp has the details for Politico Pro Competition and Tech subscribers. Jourova vs. Facebook and Airbnb. The European Commission is expected today to present the outcome of a stock-taking exercise into how Airbnb and Facebook reacted to Brussels' complaints about their approach to EU consumers' rights. An EU official said that regarding Airbnb, expect some positive developments for consumers. There basically is an agreement with the company. And quite quickly, given this was only launched before the summer. The Commission's not so happy with Facebook. On the similar case with Facebook, there is only limited progress and this has been ongoing for too long, the official said. Commissioner Vera Jourova is expected to present the results this morning at a press point. Commission versus Poland. First Vice President Frans Timmermans on Wednesday didn't ask the College of Commissioners to refer the Polish Supreme Court law to the ECJ. A Polish government official told our own Maja de la Baum that Polish Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki spoke to Juncker, and he tried to convince him to back down, and it would seem that had some influence on Wednesday's decision, or lack thereof. The official also said Timmermans was muted during his Wednesday press conference. A commission spokesperson emailed in the evening to say that Polish press reports alleging that First Vice President Timmermans and President Juncker disagree on Poland are wrong. They are on the same page and the college is behind Timmermans when he decides on the next step on Poland. Commission versus Babiš. Watchdog group Transparency International's Czech chapter has lodged a complaint with the European Commission over concerns that Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš may be violating EU budget conflict of interest rules, report Lily Beyer and Emmett Livingstone. The complaint revolves around Babiš' relationship with conglomerate Agrofert, which he founded. Kern makes his move. Austria's former Chancellor Christian Kern told his party colleagues on Wednesday that he will seek to become the Social Democratic Spitzenkandidat, running against European Commission Vice President Maro Šefčovič. He's got at least one ardent backer, his son Nico is team hashtag YesWeKern all the way, tweeting that an EU top job would be Austria's bomb for its currently slightly battered international reputation. More info from Der Standard. Meanwhile, in Germany, the Empress has no clothes. German Chancellor Angela Merkel may still be the most authoritative EU leader when she's with peers. But back home, people are starting to wonder why she can't just have an underling fired at her pleasure. Matthew Karnischnig explains how the saga involving the now former head of Germany's domestic spy service, Hans-Georg Maaßen, has revealed Merkel's authority is fading fast. Former allies call on Romania's Liviu Dragnea to resign. Join the Global Public Affairs Forum, an international event dedicated to C-level public affairs professionals on September 28 in Paris. Featuring inspirational keynote speeches, thought-provoking debates and exceptional networking opportunities, the forum will provide a unique opportunity to meet the brightest minds in public affairs from the wide range of sectors and countries. Don't miss your chance to listen to one of our expert speakers. Dr. Petra Lox, head of Global Public Affairs Policy at Novartis Pharma AG. The Vestager Debate. Of sour grapes, Competition Commissioner Marguerite Vestager stirred up a hornet's nest about how to elect the next commission president with her pointed criticism of the Spitzenkandidaten process in a Playbook interview earlier this week. Responses suggest Vestager's ALDE party is in the minority in the European Parliament in this regard. And it's not only the EPP that is keen to repeat the process that made its own candidate, Jean-Claude Juncker, the Commission President. Greens full-on, the criticism by Commissioner Vestager is pretty ridiculous. And it reminds everybody of the fox that declares the grapes sour because he can't get them. European Green Party leader Reinhard Bütikofer told Playbook. He said that while the Spitzenkandidat process would be improved if combined with transnational lists, Ms. Vestager should not try to make the better the enemy of the good, as it would mean a democratic rollback. Basically, Ms. Vestager's argument rolls down to this. She would prefer the European Council to return to selecting the next president of the European Commission just between themselves and behind closed doors. It's simple, Bütikofer argued. Nobody that I know among European party leaders has argued that the European Parliament should decide completely on its own. I would expect the European Council to select a candidate from among the Spitzenkandidaten. It would then be up to that person to see whether she or he can find enough support among the members of the European Parliament. It has been widely rumored that Ms. Vestager could possibly be a Spitzenkandidat herself. I read her comments as abdicating that ambition. That's her choice. But the grapes of more European democracy do still taste sweet, even if Ms. Vestager cannot get at them. Think harder, says the EPP. The European Parliament will not elect anyone as Commission President who was not a top candidate before. There's broad consensus about that in the House, EPP MEP Daniel Caspary told Playbook. Even in national elections, you can usually only vote for the head of government candidate in his or her constituency. But everywhere else you know that you get him or her as Prime Minister if you vote for the party. He added, Vestager's arguments are somewhat weak. She should think again and consider new arguments as to why she should be chosen in the back room. Social Democrats denounce double standards. In many parliamentary systems, not all voters can give their vote directly to one of the party's lead candidates. It is sufficient to know that a party will back a certain candidate if it manages to form a majority in the parliament, said MEP Jo Leinen, who was a co-rapporteur for the reform of the European electoral law, in a statement. I wonder why the same approach is accepted for national elections, but considered complete fiction and not sufficiently democratic when it comes to the EU. Over and out. The man struggling to exorcise Leopold's ghost. Esther King has this extraordinary tale, as he worked to modernize Belgium's Africa Museum. The institution's director, Guido Grisiels, faced a delicate problem, what to do about the human zoo. She writes, the museum was built by King Leopold II using money made in the exploitative rubber plantations of the Congo Free State, which he initially ran as his private fiefdom. About 1.3 million Belgians, a third of the population at the time, came to see the human zoo the king set up in his royal estate Interviewen, just outside of Brussels. New job, Annabella Rice is now senior spokesperson at the European Stability Mechanism, dividing her time between Luxembourg and Brussels. Previously, Rice worked for Bloomberg News in Lisbon. Birthdays: Siegfried Murison, MEP, Alessandro Torello. Journalist Janos Carpati, European Commission's Katarzyna Bitka, Francesca Craig of MPA, H.T. Benchang. Correction: this newsletter was updated to note Nico Kern as Christian Kern's son. A message from Google: the educated readers of today will become the inquisitive journalists of tomorrow. Just one reason the DNI is supporting French Project Virtual Newsroom with funding of €49,332. This media literacy initiative comes from French magazine Playbok Presse and builds on the offline Atelier des Petits Journalistes, which has enabled 1,600 pupils and their teachers to learn from specially trained journalists about how news gets published and create their own daily newspaper. Virtual Newsroom will expand that into a digital format, giving teachers the tools, templates and assistants to lead the experience in their classroom, without moving location and at a lower cost. Read more how the DNI supports media projects of every size across Europe here. Subscribe to the Politico newsletter family: Brussels Playbook, London Playbook, EU Confidential, Sunday Crunch, Brussels Influence, DC Playbook. All our Politico Pro Policy Morning Newsletters.